We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, folks, time for the Manny Diaz Show, brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And by Kendall Toyota, the model year end sales event is here at Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. 0% financing for up to 75 months. Call 305-KENDALL today. And joining us right now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline is the head coach of the University of Miami, Manny Diaz. Good morning, Manny. How are you?
Good morning, Joe. How are we doing?
We're doing good, Coach. Lot to get to. I know that the game and people are fired up here in South Florida. Looked at the text machine. I know you've heard it all. What? And not just the game, but overall the 6-6 season. After feeling like you had a chance to have a really good team, you end up 500 with some real disappointing losses in there. What are your thoughts on this team overall now?
Well, Joe, when you and I spoke for the first time last January, you know, after I was named head coach, I said there were three clear areas that we had to improve on to get this thing going. Number one was the culture, which really is inside the weight room, which to me we have accomplished that. I think David Feely's done a great job with training our guys, understanding the way that our guys work, and everything that's going on down there. And I think that even translated to the effort that our team played with this past weekend coming off of the FIU game. Second was recruiting. We had to transform the way that we are recruiting, which I think we have. This 2020 class, which, you know, I'm on the road right now. I already had three in-home visits last night. They are, not only are we excited about who these guys are as players, but their reaction to, you know, these past couple games is not just that, Coach, we're sticking with you. It's, Coach, we're coming in to be the difference. They have a group chat together, and these guys are on fire. It's not a just, well, yeah, we're hanging in there. Like, well, Coach, wait till we get here, and you'll see this class is going to be the change at Miami. So I'm excited about where we're going recruiting-wise. The third thing that we had to correct is we had to correct the offense, and we had to correct specifically within the quarterback position. And I think that's the most disappointing part here in the last couple of weeks because of the inconsistencies, you know, and that's the part that I'm taking a step back and looking at, because you look at us and you say, well, who are we? You know, what are we on offense? I mean, are we the bunch that, you know, scored 52 points and set school records against Louisville? I mean, the way that we looked against Florida State, I mean, you saw we talked about this just 3 weeks ago. You know, we know we had a bunch of young guys on offense that were, and our growth curve was trending up. We had things going in the right direction. And then you look at the way that we finished the final 2 weeks, you know, not being able to score in the first half against FIU, you know, starting the game with all the three and outs at Duke and not being able to, you know, all we needed was a touchdown in the third quarter of the game on Saturday, and that thing may turn into a rout because defensively, we were in complete control of the game. So that's the part that where we sit here. And again, obviously, quarterback play, which was, you know, very inconsistent. You know, we've had guys in and out of the lineup. So that's the part that's the biggest disappointment and the biggest letdown. And that's where my attention is because it's my responsibility to get it fixed, and I will get it fixed.
Let me ask you about a couple of these topics, and I just want to motivation and effort. Are you happy with that?
Our team played. I told the team in the locker room we came to play. Our older guys came to play, and again, like I mentioned, a lot of this is measurable even by the way that we practiced last week. But we did. I mean, I cannot fault the effort of our guys. I can't fault the strain that we play with, which now comes down to, okay, if our guys brought it, you know, which they did, and that's undeniable. Okay, now why did it look the way that it looked, and why did we struggle to move the ball the way that we did? We played Duke a year ago. We lost the game to Duke a year ago, and I can pull out very distinct clips of a lack of effort on special teams. I can pull up very distinct clips of a lack of effort on offense, and those were the things tied to. And this is no small thing. I would be more concerned if I had to fix that. Because that's the thing that we had no chance without that. We have got that established. Okay, but now if our guys are giving us that, then we've got to do better. We've got to find better ways to get them in position to succeed. You know, and that's what I've got to get done.
So that would be the second part, lead me into talent overall, Coach. It just doesn't look like you have enough talent for the big playmakers and those people. Would you agree with that? This roster needs to be upgraded?
Well, there's no doubt it does. And again, what we have shown is the inconsistency of the playmaking ability. It was very simple. I mean, again, Duke's going to play press cover one, and they're going to play press cover four, and you got to run away from guys, and you got to make some plays. And there's a lot of things that go into that. And we have struggled with that against teams that have played us similarly this year, whether that was Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech was somewhat similar in that vein. So, but the main thing is this: we have good players on this team. What we have to find the way to, and this is what speaks to this recruiting class. We've got to upgrade the competition, and we've got to start creating a sense that if I don't do it, somebody else is going to come behind me and take my job. And that's something that we have to just stack recruiting classes on top of each other. And that's not a Miami issue. That's an issue of everybody that's trying to climb this mountain to get back up into the top five of college football. You have got to stack recruiting classes on top of recruiting classes so that there is a competition in practice, and that's where the consistency of performance comes in. And that's where you say, well, gosh, this guy on one week looks like this, on another week it looks like that. And that's what you can't have. You've got to have it where it's the same guys every week pushing themselves, and that's, again, this is straight off of, you know, what's always worked at Miami in the past.
Coaching and schemes, does that have to be evaluated, Coach? The guys, are you not matching up schemes and maybe the way you're teaching things with certain guys to get the most out of them? Is that something you look at?
Oh, Joe, everything has to be evaluated. I mean, there's no doubt, and that's where it would be easy. And that's why I said, I mean, the point where, you know, that I've got to be thorough is if it was just constant issues, then that's one thing. The inconsistency, you know, and then trying to get into, okay, and what is it? Where are the trends? What are the situations that we struggle? You know, what is there? Is there certain things that we go up against that we struggle? So, yeah, again, that's where you got to be thorough and looking at all the aspects and all the factors that are out there.
Coach, one thing over the last couple of years that was consistent with this team was the defense. What have you seen just on tape or film or throughout this entire season that the team has just gotten very inconsistent on defense and it hasn't been the same team? It's just been the last couple of years outside of a couple of guys going pro, we know that. But outside of that, like what do you think is the biggest problem with the defense right now?
Well, when you step back and you look, you know, again, now we've got a 12-game resume on this year's defense, and you look at our numbers. We were top 20 in just about every category. Again, you look at, you know, you're back up in the top five and tackles for loss and sacks and all those type of things. A lot of the things that look the way that we've looked here over the last 4 years. Our pass defense numbers even trended up as the year went on. We obviously had some poor games, some outliers. We missed. You know, look, we flat out, there was going to be a slight regression on defense this year because of just the players that we lost a year ago. But when I watch our season in a microcosm on Saturday, our defense gave us a chance to win. You know, I mean, Duke gets a 45-yard drive for their first touchdown. The game was very similar to the game last year where it came down to field position. We come out in the third quarter for the second week in a row, mind you. Because in the FIU game last year, which, by the way, their first touchdown was on a short field after a turnover. So we know the value of field position. We come out in the FIU game last year, 2 weeks ago, and in the third quarter completely shut them down. I'm not sure they had a first down. I think we did the exact same thing to Duke. All right, and in that time, the offense gets the ball on the long punt return by KJ Osborne, and then on the strip sack that Nesta Silvera recovers. a touchdown at that point that puts us up by 10, and we might run out of there 20-point winners. To be honest, those guys physically, in the way the game ends up looking, and, you know, as the final two drives of the fourth quarter, those guys, we made some errors, but to be honest, those guys wore it out physically and they wore it out mentally, but they're watching, and it's hard for those guys. You know, last year's defense was so special in terms of their resolve. I mean, it was very unique with the type of leadership we have. The last 2 weeks, they've had a hard time watching, having to go out there and basically play with no margin for error. And when Duke again scored a touchdown on a short field, both of their touchdown drives were 40-some-odd yard drives, and it got to be 20-17. They couldn't make the other crucial stop to keep us in the game. So, you know, would I like us to have been better? Of course I could have, but there was an expectation that with what we lost a year ago and what we had, our numbers went from the top five in defense to, I think, we're 16th or 17th or something like that. I mean, we're still playing very good defense at Miami with the expectation of continuing to recruit and continue to find ways to get better.
Coach, let's go back to the offense. The offense line, I know you had some guys banged up, but dead last in third down in the country and almost last in sacks, I think, allowed in the country. I mean, those are numbers, as you know. I mean, you can't – that's a tough one to overcome. You can't keep drives going if you can't convert on third down. What are the biggest problems? Is it talent-wise offensive line? Is it – how do you get that whole thing flipped around? That's a big one when you start talking about dead last in college football. Talk about those.
Yeah, Miami can't be dead last. I mean, that can't be acceptable. And that's why I say so – you've got to look at everything that goes into that. I think it's oversimplistic to just put things on the offensive line. You know, what are the situations that we're getting into? What are the down distances that we're getting into? What are the chances that we're taking? Are we putting ourselves in negative situations? But again, that's something that we have to own. And I think it's unfair to just say, well, you know, we'll just point that at that offensive line and say, you know, that's on you guys. That is a global problem we have to fix.
Coach, the other one is now that the season's over and you end up last game, Nikosi Perry gets a chance to play for Jaren Williams. Do we have a quarterback going forward, or what happens now at the quarterback position? What's your thought on that with these two guys and bringing somebody in maybe to upgrade this thing?
Well, that's what we talked about, and we're sitting here 3 weeks ago thinking that there's no doubt that we do, and that's why the phrase that keeps coming up over and over again is consistency of performance, and is this a factor of youth, which it could be, and something that you mature your way out of? Is this a factor of, you know, or is this part of the of who you are? So, that's why I circle back to the conversation we had 11 months ago. We're going to do whatever it takes to get the quarterback position fixed. We have seen in those young men that they, you know, when locked in and engaged and we got it humming, can really be special. But Miami is a place where we've got to do it week in and week out. So as we have to do, we've got to do, as we have to create competition, we've got to do whatever it takes to get the quarterback room up and running and leading our offense.
Coach, the big play, I thought when we got Jeff Thomas and Mark Pope and guys like that, I thought, man, everybody, a lot of people recruited those guys. They got recruited by everybody in the country, and yet we just aren't getting consistent big plays out of them. Those are a couple guys. How do you feel about your whole receiving core, especially with Osborne now is going to be done? Who are the next guys, or do you have to go find them?
Well, both, you know. I mean, I think the guys on our roster, you know, you mentioned Pope, obviously D. Wiggins emerged as the year went on. Mike Harley, you know, is so solid. Jeremiah Payton is a guy that we really think has got a big future, who's been in our developmental group, you know, this fall. We are recruiting. We like the wideouts that we have coming in. And then to your point on the big plays, what I go back to again is the inconsistency. You know, they're there, and when they've been there, and I think that's why I go back to the Florida State Louisville weeks back to back, where you say, wow, like this is becoming a unit. You know, you see,
right,
you know, the post of Jeff and the post of D, and then you come back Louisville week, the game the following week, and you see the same things and the shots. You know, we've hit Pope on a couple shots this year. but it's not been consistent. And I think that's what's caused some of the sort of the sputtering starts and stops for us offensively.
Coach, what's the story right now with Tate Martell? Everything okay with him personally? Like, I know he's going to be off and probably not around for the bowl game too, but everything okay with him and this team?
That's actually not for sure. No, we Tate and I spoke about 10 days ago about him, you know, sort of getting right here in the 2 week period of our last two games. So again, it's on him, and when he feels like he's got his mind right to come back, we're ready for him. So, and I hope it is for the bowl.
Coach, the recruiting aspect coming off these last couple of games, has it affected things? What's it been like? I know you've talked about it about a couple guys recently that really jumped in and said, "Hey, we're not going anywhere, man. We're going to stick this thing. We want to get it turned around." What's been the overall from the group of guys you're recruiting? What's been the feedback?
Extremely positive. And by the way, you know, who doesn't love early opportunity? And who doesn't love the fact that we're going to have a heck of a competition for playing time this spring? The great thing about this recruiting class is we have, I mentioned how, you know, we like the guys' talent. We love their mentality. The other great thing is that the majority of these guys are mid-year enrollees. So we have a chance immediately to inject, you know, 14, 15, you know, somewhere around there guys into our roster on, you know, January 13th. And get those guys in our weight room, to get those guys in a spring practice, and, you know, to get those guys understanding what we're trying to accomplish. And that to me is the part that's got me fired up. This 2020 class, you know, as I've mentioned, not just their skill set, but their mindset, I think, might be the thing that really makes them special.
Before we let you go, Coach, there was one other thing. I wanted to ask you, somebody said with breakdowns, Is it a smart team? You feel you had a pretty smart team, or are there too many mental mistakes?
Smart team or too many mental mistakes? We are.
You get guys freelancing, or guys forget when there's an adjustment made by the other team, and all of a sudden guys are out of position. What would you say overall on that topic?
When I try to think of empirical evidence, either counting it through missed assignments or
right.
I don't necessarily see that. You know,
okay.
I think in defensive we had some coverage issues at the beginning of the year that to me went away as time went on. Even our issues with guys up front, I thought we would know who to block. You know, there were times whether we were capable of it or, you know, that's a different story, but you know, I didn't see a lot of just free runners coming out our quarterback. So, no, I would, based off the evidence, I'd push back on that a little bit.
All right, Coach, thanks for your time.
We appreciate it.
Okay, guys, have a good week.
All right, this is the Manny Diaz Show brought to you by J&K Roofing. J&K Roofing has been serving South Florida for 30 years, repairing and installing new roofs. If you got a leaky roof, call J&K at 954-961-ROOF by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. And by Lexus of Kendall, the model year end sales event is here. Exceptional prices on the all-new Lexus UX, RX, NX, and IS, all at LexusofKendall.com and Lexus of West Kendall.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.